You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Today's topic, it's going to be really funny that I'm breathing this heavily. This is my trusty steed, head on a stick. Okay, anyway, so I wanted to get a real horse, and we actually were in talks and then realized that the horse wouldn't actually come in to the garage because it would be really skittish. So this is the best we can do, and I didn't have two coconuts either to bang them together because that's the second best thing to a live horse is just getting two coconuts and banging them together. But there's a story about a king. And this king was the king of what kings are in charge of, which are kingdoms. There we go. And there was a soldier out on the front, miles and miles, hundreds and, you know, days away from the king and his throne. And this soldier realized that there was an army coming up about to attack the king. And this story may or may not be true. So it's okay, we're just being real. So anyway, this army was approaching towards the king. And so the soldier sent a messenger with an important message, put it in his messenger bag and said, "Quickly, get to the king as soon as possible, because the message that you have here is a life or death message. The message you need to get to this king, you need to let him know that the army is approaching, and they need to know that they're about to be in a lot of trouble." And so the messenger gets onto his trusty steed, horse on a stick, and he gets on it and starts riding and riding. And the message is important. It's crucial for the sake of the kingdom. And so the messenger rides and rides and rides, and the horse is getting a little bit tired, but there is no time to rest the horse. We must keep going. Got to get the message to the king. Very important. Riding and riding all through the night. The horse needs water. The horse has their tongue sticking out, which is a sign of horse thirst. Because I know these things, because I'm a cowboy, baby. All right, anyway, he's riding, and the horse is tired. The horse needs water. But no time to stop. We've got to get the message to the king. Because if the message doesn't get there, it's a life or death message. It needs to make it. And about 2 days into the three-day ride, the horse is just being pushed beyond its breaking point. And finally, within 8 hours of getting to the king with the message, the horse drops over dead from exhaustion. And of course, with the dead horse, the messenger cannot get there in time. The other army approaches and attacks the kingdom. And we don't know what happened. Maybe the kingdom was destroyed. Maybe people were killed. But the message never made it. And as much as the messenger really wanted to get the message there, and as much as the messenger really tried to get the message there, the messenger didn't care for the vehicle, for the horse that was being used to deliver that message. And of course, if he had just taken the time to give the horse a break, to give the horse some water, to feed and care for the horse, the message would have arrived in plenty of time. But without the horse, the message couldn't go anywhere. And see, as followers of Jesus, we carry a life or death message. If we believe that, if we believe the fact that Jesus died to save sinful people like us from an eternity in hell, then we have a very important message to get out. But unfortunately, we've got this important message that God wants us to deliver to this world, to our friends, to our family, to our neighbors. And we don't care for the vehicle that God has given us to deliver that message. And that's our bodies. And see, we've got this thing where we're kind of like, let's go, let's keep pushing. And we miss the fact and neglect the fact that caring for our own personal health is important. And that's the point that I want us to look at today. It is this. As we're going through this series, we're doing two parts. We're looking inward for this first month, looking at things that we need to look inside and say, God, is this something that you want me to change? Because then in February, we're going to look outward. Because both of these are what's next. What's next for you? What's next for me? And then what's next for us? What does God want MC3 to do next? Where are we going next? And I can tell you, we are going to be talking about getting this message out, about communicating this message. But if we are not caring for the vehicle that God has given us to deliver the message, then we're going to be in trouble. And so this week we're looking inward, and the point is this. The next step for me is to care for my personal health. The next step for me is to care for my personal health. And I want to talk about this idea of our bodies being used and cared for. And I'm telling you, I don't know why this is. Maybe it's because when we talk about spiritual growth, we think it's only spiritual and it has nothing to do with physical. But we're going to look at a passage here in Corinthians where Paul talks about our bodies. And I don't understand this. I mean, I grew up in a church, and then when we went to Dallas, we were part of First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, one of the first Southern Baptist churches around, and they ate a lot. We ate. Everything was a meal and was a thing. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but there were very out of shape people. There were very out of shape leaders, and we were going, hey, it's cool because God doesn't care about this part. And I want to tell you that's wrong. And that's just a misconception about what it means to follow Jesus. And so today we're going to be talking about some hard stuff. It might be personal. It might step on your toes a little bit. It might be just difficult to digest. And I want you to know that it's hard for all of us. It's hard. What we're talking about is not something that's easy. And so as we talk about caring for bodies, we're going to look at some different aspects of what that looks like. But I want you to understand that this is something that God is interested in because we have a message to deliver. But if we die before we can deliver it, it's not going to get very far. If we are unable to continue, and granted, I'm not denying that God has our days numbered and He knows them individually and specifically and piece by piece. But we are to be responsible. We are to be stewards, as we talked about in the offer series. We're to be managers of our physical beings. And that is a biblical and a real thing because we have this life or death message to deliver. And we don't want the vehicle, the horse, to die in the process before we can get it out. So we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's turn on the house lights here. And if you have a paper Bible, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you have the YouVersion app, you can just tap on New Testament, tap on 1 Corinthians, and then 6, and we're going to be in verse 12. Now, let me give you a little background here. The book of Corinthians, or two of them, first and second, were letters actually written by Paul, who was one of the early church planters. He actually planted the church in Corinth. And this was a message to them to kind of talk and catch them up on some things that they were dealing with. And one of the things specifically about Corinth was that they were in the middle of a really, without sounding all churchy, but in a really ungodly community. In a really ungodly city. There was all about temple prostitutes and shrines and idol worship and sacrifice. And Paul's like, hey, let's start a church right in the middle of that. And God, you know, it's beautiful. Actually, what a field, what an opportunity. And in the middle of that, over time, the church in Corinth kind of started drifting into kind of bringing the Jesus thing into their idol worship, into their prostitution thing, into stuff where today we're like, what? And we're like, the world's going crazy today. And dude, it was pretty crazy back then. And so this is a letter he's writing to this church and says, I want to clean up some misconceptions. I want you to understand a few things. And specifically, in verses 12 through 20, as we're going to be looking at this morning, he actually brings up some phrases that were popular phrases among the people in Corinth of the day. And so things that people would say, like, you know, it's okay, hun. Things that we might say, you know, can't fix stupid. What are some other things, you know, like there's all these different, you know, it is what it is. Profound, brilliant moment there. But, you know, we have those kind of phrases. Well, there were phrases in the church in Corinth, the city. And Paul is kind of like, let's address a couple of these things and hit them head on. And so that's what we're looking at here. And I want you to know, too, that this passage is talking about sexual immorality. The Greek word for sexual immorality is porneia. It's where we get the word pornography, porn, you know. And for the most part, that is a bad thing. I mean, not the most part, all part. That is a bad thing. But you know, our understanding in culture today is like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Well, I'm telling you it is. But anyway, he's talking about this issue, this sexual immorality. And that is the point. That is the focus of this passage. But there are some biblical truths in it about our bodies at the same time that Paul communicates as he's talking about sexual immorality. So I'm just saying that if you were here for the crop series a year ago and we talked about, you know, not taking passages out of context and you know, not making the Bible say whatever you want because you can do that. I don't want you to think I'm going all cropped on you and pulling this out. This is about sexual immorality. But there are things in here that are true and are biblical and are right about our bodies in that. So, got a lot of content to cover, and here's what we're going to do. So let's just read along. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies... Next slide there. Are we there? Yeah. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never! Do you not know that the one who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. The Greek word for body is soma. It means our physical body. It is the idea of physical things. So while the word is used in other times talking about the body of Christ, clearly here he is talking about our physical, individual bodies. And so there's some things where God talks about our bod. God says some things about our bod, and here are the things that they are. And again, the context of sexual immorality, but I want to draw some truths out of this and help you kind of get this perspective that God does care about this. He is interested in this. He is interested in the fact that this is what he has given us and to take the message to the world. The first thing is that our bodies are rescued by God. Our bodies are rescued by God. And when I say bodies, I'm talking about bodies. I'm physically, our bodies, our bodies are rescued by God. Versus just kind of like, well, you know, we're going to kind of like turn into angels and like float into heaven and play harps. There is something very physical, and this is theology here. There's something very physical about our bodies that God has rescued. And so here's the first thing he says there in verses 12. He says, one of the phrases that people use is, in Corinth was, I have the right to do anything. I can do whatever I want. I'm following Jesus. I can do whatever I want. But he says, but not everything is beneficial. And this is true. There are things that you can do. You have the right to say anything you want. You have the right to remain silent. That's a good example for all of us that have been, you know, there. And maybe we have, you know, I don't know. But the reason they share that right is because if you say something, you might hurt yourself. You're welcome to, but you might get in trouble. I just read an article yesterday about this guy who was suspiciously buying gift cards. I don't know how that's suspicious, but this police officer then came up to him, and apparently the guy then confessed that he bought these gift cards because he was going to sell them for prostitution. Like, on his own. There was nothing suspect. It was just kind of like, what are you doing? He was just like, I was going to use this for prostitution. So I guess he panicked. But that would have been a moment where his right to remain silent probably would have been a good thing for him, not necessarily for what's right or wrong. But understand, and Paul is saying, look, you have the right, but it doesn't mean it's a good thing. Not everything is beneficial. And then he goes on and says, I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. He says, just because it's your right doesn't mean it's a good thing. And then he goes on to this next quote, and it says, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. So I want you to understand that in your Bible, depending on which translation you're using, this is the actually, I don't even know whether I'm the NLT or the NIV, frankly, I don't know if that's right. But the quote sometimes ends with food for the stomach and the stomach for food, end quote. But it seems that this quote continues. The food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. And what this quote basically means is, look, enjoy it now, because when Jesus returns or when we die, it's all gone. It doesn't matter. Just live. Seize the day. Carpe diem. Carpe corpus, which is body. I just made that up. It's Latin. And do whatever you want, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And Paul is like, no. However, the body, however, is not meant, and of course the context is sexual immorality, but the body is meant for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And so he's kind of, this myth, this idea that says, you know what, it doesn't matter, it's my body. It doesn't really matter what we do. When we die, it's going to be gone anyway. And Paul's like, no, don't let that guide your life. It's wrong. Because our bodies are meant for the Lord. Our bodies are meant for God. Our bodies are meant to be used for Him, and we'll get to that in a moment. And our bodies were rescued. And then he goes on and continues this idea. He says, by His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us also. He's bringing back this idea to say, look, when we go into it going like, hey, it doesn't matter what I do, it's just my body, it doesn't matter. And Paul says, no. Jesus rose from the dead, and when He rose from the dead, He rose physically. He rose bodily. Even to the point where Thomas is like, dude, I don't even believe He's for real. And Jesus says, look, come on, touch me. I'm real. I'm for real. I'm not a floating ghost. I'm nothing like that. It's real. And He says that just the way God raised Jesus from the dead in a real physical body, He's going to raise us as well. So, with that in mind, it means that our bodies are rescued. God is not just, Jesus didn't just die for our souls. I'll put that in quotes. But He didn't just die for our souls. But He died for us. All of us, our immaterial and our physical material beings. And so that's what Paul is kind of going back to, this idea like, no. God died for your body, and He rose Jesus from the dead bodily, and He's going to do the same for us. Now, I just want to clarify that Paul is not making an argument here for, you know, and I've heard some of these arguments, frankly, I've had some discussions with some of you about this idea, well, you know, what if a soldier, you know, gets his hand cut off in battle? Does that mean he's going to, when Jesus brings him back, he's not going to have a hand? Or what about, you know, car accidents? What about, I mean, just all these kind of physical things. And I don't miss, this doesn't mean that, you know, if you lose your finger in a shop accident, that when you come back, when Jesus raises you, if you're a follower of His, you're going to be missing those fingers. That's not the point. So don't get caught up in that. We're going to be raised in perfect physical bodies whatever that, I don't even know what that looks like. I'm not sure what that looks like. But that's what he says is going to be. So don't get hung up on this. I'm like, well, what happens if, you know, that's not what Paul is saying. He's just saying our bodies are going to be raised. They're going to be raised physically and they're going to be raised perfect. And so there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more sadness. I mean, all those things that are part of our sin will be gone, but we will have physical bodies. And so that's what he's saying, that Jesus has rescued us, our bodies as well. And then he goes on and says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Because Jesus died for your soul, Jesus also died for your body. Our bodies are part of him. We are one. It's not just the spiritual side of who we are. It's the actual physical side. And I know that this is kind of like, what? Kind of weird, kind of not weird, but just different things. Especially if you grew up in church, this might be very different from perhaps what you've understood, because we don't really talk about this. But that our bodies are rescued just as much as our souls are rescued, so are our bodies. And our souls, we are in Christ. So are our bodies in Christ. We are part of him. And then he goes on and says, shall I take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. The word means, may it never be. And then he goes on and says, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. He's making an argument for the sexual side of things, because people were like, you know, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I do with my body. I can have sex with prostitutes. That's fine. And Paul's like, no, your body is just as much part of Jesus as your soul. Your outward actions matter just as much as your inward thoughts. And so then he says, you know, that our bodies are rescued by God. So that's the first argument when it comes to our bodies. And then the second thing that we see here is that our bodies are the house of God. Our bodies are the house of God. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you have believed in his death on the cross and chosen to follow him for the forgiveness of your sins, you are the temple of God. You are the house of God. You have God living in you. If you grew up in church, you might have called it, I accepted Jesus into my heart. I don't know how I fit in there, but he's in there. You know, like, but that idea that God lives in us is what Paul continues to say. And he says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. And this is another quote. And again, depending on your translation, it may or may not be in quotes. A lot of scholars believe that this is another phrase that people would use. And the idea here is that, you know what? Sin is what I do to other people. That's what sin means. If I mean to you, that's sin. If I punch you, that's sin. If I cut you off in traffic, that's sin. If I say something bad about you, that's sin. But if it happens to me, if it's about me and what I do, it's not. That was a misunderstanding. And again, this is the idea of the Corinth culture seeping into the church, where they're like, you know what? Whatever I do outside of my body, that's sin. But inside my body, it isn't sin. And so Paul was trying to debunk that idea and go to this idea of, no, the actual action of your sin, and even the word other, depending on your translation, I know I'm throwing you off, if you have the NIV, NLT, different things, but the word other is actually not there. The phrase was, all sins a person commits outside their body. All sin is what you do outside of your body. And Paul says, no. Whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Okay, again, going with the sexual argument. If you are involved in something inappropriately sexual inappropriately, either way, the idea that, well, that doesn't matter because this is my body, I can do whatever I want. Paul's like, no. If you're sinning sexually, you're sinning against your own body. That's an actual sin. And he goes on to explain. What does that mean? He says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Paul says, look, our bodies are the temple. Our bodies are where God lives. And I want to give you context. We talked last week about the idea of the temple. And of course, we talked about how we did a series called Dwell, where we talked about the tabernacle, which was what the temporary version of what became the temple. And the temple was where people met with God. God's physical presence dwelt in the temple in Jerusalem. And People would go and offer sacrifices there, and once a year into that Holy of Holy place. We talked about this last week. You can listen to it at mc3church.org. We talked about going into that Holy of the Holy place. This happened one time, once a year, by the high priest. But God physically dwelled there. And when Jesus died on the cross, we talked about this last week as well, the curtain that separated the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, from the rest of things, which was a giant curtain, it ripped in two from top to bottom, signifying, and this wasn't, it wasn't a person ripping it, it actually just ripped. God caused that to happen, signifying that with Jesus' death, there's no need to go through the temple, the process, the sacrifices and all that, because Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice. And then Paul takes this idea and explains that, look, what that means is that we are now the temple. That God is now living in us. And there's, if you want to, actually, you could listen to the series called Three that we did about a year ago, talking about the Holy Spirit and how He works and how He lives in us. And he says that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. That means God is living in you. You're the temple. And that sounds cool. I went to Bible college and we'd have these push-up contests out in the hall in our dorm. I'd be like, yeah, just caring for the temple, caring for the temple. You know, like, okay, that sounds cool and stuff, and it's a good, get you going kind of phrase. But if you understood and taking it back to what the temple actually meant, for the priests just to enter, not the Holy of Holies, not the most holy place, but just the regular temple doors, the temple courts, there were these multiple ceremonial washings that they had to perform. And they would have to change their clothes multiple times and wash their hands, and then they would have to wash their head and their feet. And they had all these different things before they could just step into the one place where not even that was just the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, just that one place. There were tons of things they had to do. Why? Because the temple was a sacred place. The temple meant something you needed to care for because the presence of God dwelled there. It was something we needed to take care of. We needed to it mattered. It was a sacred, unique, special place because God was there. And so these people, the people that Paul is talking to, they get that. They understood, like, whoa. I mean, God's living in me now? He's saying, yes. You are the temple of God. Which is also, this whole argument that, we should meet on Sundays and, how could we close the doors of the temple? Well, that means that you're dead if the doors of the temple are closed. Like, the church isn't the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in us. That's why we gather together in congregation to worship together, because we all bear the, as followers of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We are the temple. So just some interesting little thoughts there. But this idea is that we are the temple, and therefore God's living in us. Therefore, we need to care for the house of God. We need to care for the place where God lives. Because God is God. He's holy. He's amazing. He's wonderful. And He is dwelling in us. And we are his house. So, our bodies are rescued by God. Paul just sets that up. Again, talking about sexual immorality, talking about this idea of inappropriate sexual relations. But he mentions that our bodies are being rescued. Like, we physically, Jesus died for our bodies, not just our spirits. And our bodies will be resurrected. Second thing is, our bodies are the house of God. God lives in us. He lives in us. Therefore, we need to honor Him, which brings us to the third thing, and that's that our bodies belong to God. In the last part of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, you are not your own. Like, you think you belong to you. I can do whatever I want. And he says, no, you were bought at a price. The Son of God came to this planet and died for you. If He didn't do that, you're on your way to hell. There is no way around it. But God died for us. Jesus came and died for us, buying us from sin, buying us back from hell, buying us back from an eternity in hell. And we're probably going to do a series in April about hell. So we're going to spend a couple of weeks talking about hell. And he says, you're not your own. You were bought at a price. Because of what Jesus did for you, because God died for you, because He lives in you, Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And this word honor, it means not just be like, yeah, I've got a cross around my neck or a WWJD bracelet or whatever. He's saying, no, this, make sure you're honoring God. The word honor means to praise, to worship. Is your body, and again, that's what Paul is saying here, not your lifestyle, not your attitude, not your mindset, which all those things matter. But here he's saying, with your physical bodies, you need to honor, to worship, to praise God. The question is, does your body honor God? And again, this is tough stuff because it's not easy. It's not easy to consider. It's not easy to do. I mean, we're in a culture. If I may pick on my wife a moment, a couple of days ago, she was kind of, or one time ever, she was a little cranky. I'm cranky all that. But we came to realize it was because she had to go to the grocery store. And come on, nobody likes going to the grocery store. I had to buy the groceries for the week, for the month, whatever. And I don't even know what she buys at the grocery store. I just know I eat. Which brings me to my point. That here we are, right? We're like, you know, oh, how hard that is. And I'm like, you know what? You didn't have to go out and harvest it. You didn't have to plant it. We didn't have to kill anything and slaughter it and butcher it so we have something to eat. You just go to a store and they haven't even, in uniquely identified aisles, you put it all in a cart and you buy it. Like, it's annoying. There's always the whole stomach bug fear, like, who touched this cart before? That's my thing. I've got issues. But the reality is, like, wow, you just go into a big building made out of block and steel, and they give you, you have food right there for you? Yep. And because of that, it's a whole lot harder for us to honor God with our bodies because we can eat what we want, whatever we want. I mean, we are nowhere near close to what the Corinthians had to deal with. It's all around us. We've got whatever we want. And let me tell you about my favorite Christmas present. I got a South American River Company, DOT, Echo DOT. If you know your geography, you know what a South American river, because we don't want to be, you know, preferential or anything. But a South American river, big one, jungle. I got the Echo DOT. Echo, anyway. And it's awesome, because you know what I can do? Alexa, what's the weather today? Alexa, what time is it? Alexa, turn on my... Did it just start? No, okay. Alexa, turn on my TV. Alexa, I want to watch this show. Alexa, who's doing the dishes today? I don't have to move. I can even buy special dealios and be like, Alexa, turn off the light. I'm going to bed. Alexa, turn on the light. I'm waking up. Alexa, we asked her to do the dishes the other day, and she said she couldn't do that for us. But like, we're like, come on. I mean, one of the songs we got playing for the intro is the Jetsons. If you ever watched the Jetsons, everything was automatic. You didn't have to do anything. And we're in a culture like that. So this becomes very real, because everything about our culture is saying, sit back and don't do anything. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying it's a challenge if we are supposed to honor God with our bodies. If we're supposed to care for the vehicle, the horse that has this message to deliver, then we need to be extra careful about it, because God clearly cares about our body. God is interested in how we care for it. He's interested enough to die for our bodies and resurrect our bodies physically. If he didn't care, I'd be like, you know what? We'll just start over and we'll give you, like, I don't know, your bodies will look like chairs or something. No. It's a physical body that he resurrects. Again, a perfected body, but a physical body. So the point is, again, this month, looking at, are there things that God needs, I need to change? Is God speaking to me? This isn't for you to nudge your neighbor, your friend, your family member, your spouse. But what about you? And looking inward, is there something that you need to do? Because the point is that God, the next step, sorry, for me, is to care for my personal health. And again, this is something that's unusual. It's not usually talked about, but I wanted to be honest. I mean, we're here, we're talking about January, right? New Year's resolutions. And that's one of the big ones. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to exercise more. And unfortunately, and I just read something about this the other day, that the problem with New Year's resolutions is when they take place. Because we commit to making New Year's resolutions over that holiday week. Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and holidays in general make us happier. And when we are really happy and having a good old time, everything seems doable, which is nothing wrong with that. But we are very optimistic during the holidays, and that is exactly when we make our resolutions. Like, yeah, I'm going to run 79 miles a day. Done. And then you start on day one after the holidays, and it's like, oh, maybe 79 steps. Nah, Alexa, make me walk 79 steps. Like, you know, this idea is such an interesting thing, but I want us to chew on this and say, okay, do I need to care about my body? Because God has given us our bodies and wants us to communicate this message. So, what does that look like? I'm going to talk about caring for the vehicle. This is the vehicle that God has given us. This is the mode of transportation, the mode of communicating that message. And I want to explain a few things. I have a master's degree in Christian education and a bachelor's degree in Bible. I don't even have a doctorate, which you could kind of be like, oh, he's a doctor. No, I'm not. I'm not a doctor. There's no medical, professional, psychology, counselor. There's nothing in my titles or any of my education that makes me an expert on what I'm about to share. So I want to be clear about that. I am not an expert on this. I'm just saying, here's what the Word of God says and maybe some things we need to look at. So understand that, and dude, these are rabbit trails that could be an entire series among themselves as we look at what does that really mean, and what does that mean for you, because it's different for me and for you. So just understand that, but I want to just kind of begin, okay, if we're supposed to care for our bodies, if we're supposed to care for our personal health, what are some ways that looks? And again, looking at the Bible and some of the things that we see here. The first thing that we need to do when it comes to caring for our bodies, caring for that vehicle, is about what we put into them. What we put into them. And this right here, again, wow, we could go on forever. And I am not standing up here also as an expert nor as a perfect person. But God is interested in what we put into our bodies. And I'm not saying you need to go vego, paleo, and minio, and emineo, whatever. I don't know any of those things. That's not my call. But I'm just saying, we need to say, okay, what am I putting into my body in terms of what we eat? And I know for me, for Sean Fitch has a most likely genetic cholesterol problem. And because Sean Fitch has a genetic cholesterol problem, Sean Fitch has to be careful what he eats. And so Sean Fitch eats oatmeal cereal every morning. It's not oatmeal. I hate oatmeal. At least I found it in a cereal. I can put some milk on it. When I discovered Maltomeal cereals, they're the ones in the bag, like, they took my childhood and amped it up and crammed it all into the same bag. There was like Cap'n Crunch. Whoops. Pseudo cereal about unsoggy. Anyway, Cap'n Crunch, forget it, that had berries in it, crunch berries, awesome, that then had marshmallows in it too. What? Yeah, I love that. There was like cocoa pebbles that had like real cocoa puffs and then marshmallows in that. And, like, I love sugary cereal. I don't like oatmeal cereal. But this is the vehicle God has given me. And for me, that's what Sean has to eat. Because God wants us to care for our body. What about when we drink? Clearly. Listen to me now. You don't build your whole case of life on this. But the Bible does not say that drinking alcohol is wrong. You can interpret that differently, and we can discuss it if you want. Clearly, the Bible does say that getting drunk is wrong. There's no question. Throughout the Bible, repeatedly, alcohol, drunkenness is wrong. But even so, what are we putting into our bodies? Are we allowing that to affect us, to control us? And then drugs, smoking. Again, I'm not a physician. There are probably drugs that we need to take. If I don't do this oatmeal cereal, there is a drug that I'm going to have to take. Probably going to have to do it no matter what when I get older anyway for my cholesterol. What are we putting in our bodies? Are we smoking? All these things. And again, I'm not here to criticize and say you're bad. I'm just saying this is the temple. This is the body God has given you. This is the vehicle. And so we need to say, okay, are there things that I need to get rid of? Are there things that I need to deal with? Are there things that I'm putting into my body that I shouldn't be? So, Ephesians chapter 5, just one quick little verse here that that Paul says to the church in Ephesus. He says, don't be drunk with wine. Again, just one example of this idea of alcohol and drunkenness and putting stuff in our bodies. And he does say, because that will ruin your life. And then he goes on and says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think I've even taught this here before. But the idea being that when you're drunk with wine, you are not in control of yourself. The alcohol is controlling you. And he says, don't be like that. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill you. Let God's Spirit control you and direct you and guide you. But this is just one. And again, there's multiple things in the Bible that talk about what are we putting in our bodies. If our bodies are the vehicle for the message, then we need to be concerned about what we are putting in them. Interestingly enough, the Sentinel just on Monday or Tuesday posted the Pennsylvania Community Health Assessment. And they found that, for the quick summary is that Mifflin County is near the bottom in terms of health. We have a 1/3 obesity rate. 1/3 of our county is obese, which, you know, this is not a judgment. This is an issue of there. Also, the death rate is heart disease. It's the number one killer because of this obesity issue. And again, if you're dead, you can't communicate the message that God has given you to share. And we need to care about that. What is the other number? Drinking excessively has increased in Mifflin County. By about 7%, which is a pretty significant growth. And smoking, actually. Smoking has increased by about 2%. I mean, all these bad things have increased, and we're in the middle of this culture. Here's Corinth, in the middle of this culture with all these other things going on, and Paul says, no, don't fall into these. Your bodies matter. I'm saying to you, MC3, Mifflin County Community Church, we're in the middle of this culture. Our bodies matter. Don't fall into it. Second thing is what we get out of our bodies. And here I'm talking about exercise. And I hope you guys are understanding me. Like, I'm me. Oh, it's easy for him to say, he looks like that, he's that short, he's that whatever. I hate exercising. I hate it. I hate it. I come upstairs from working out. I work out every day, except for Sundays. I need a break. Right now, I'm kind of running back and forth, so I guess that counts. I hate it. I don't enjoy it. I get up. I set my alarm early. I get up at 7:30. And I get up, and I go down to our really cold basement, and I either lift weights or I do cardio, and I do not enjoy it. I don't like it at all. There's some people that they're like, that's their thing, and that's cool, but I don't enjoy it. But I do it. Why? Because I am 41 years old, and God has given me this body to carry this message. And let me tell you that if I'm unable to communicate, if I am not able to do what I'm doing right now, then I have missed out on the opportunity that God has given me to communicate this message to you. We need to be concerned about exercise. What are we getting out of our bodies? How much are we sitting around and letting Alexa do everything? And we need to be up and doing it ourselves. In 1 Timothy 4, again, this isn't about this context, but it's interesting that Paul writes this to Timothy. He says that don't waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. And the context that people were like, well, what about this issue? What about that? He's like, stop wasting your time on that. Just be godly. And then he makes a statement that we blow by, and we're allowed to because that's not the point. But he says, physical training is good. Don't hear him say physical training is bad. He says physical training is a good thing. It is a good thing to exercise. It is a good thing to care for our body. But he says, but training for godliness is better, is much better, promising benefits for this life and the life to come. He says this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. So don't miss. He's not saying, oh, physical training is bad. He says it's good. Do that and invest in godliness. And becoming more like Jesus. Because God is interested in our physical body. It's not fun. It's not necessary. But it is necessary. Yeah, I should say that. So, God is interested in what we put into our bodies, what we get out of our bodies. And again, there's so much more. I don't know what that looks like. We talked about, you know, with giving during the offer series. If you're giving 0%, start with 1. You know, and maybe for you, maybe it's not 79 miles, but maybe it's, you know what, I'm not going to use the remote control for my TV. I'm going to walk to the TV. I mean, like, those are steps, literally and figuratively. Like, just what does it take to care for our bodies? Because God is interested in that. And it takes work. It takes effort. It takes a lot. But this is something that we need to do because this is the vehicle that God has given us. And also, nowhere, I'll just be clear, does God say, and make sure that your bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit look like models. I don't even know what a model looks like anymore. It depends on what generation you're in, what a model looks like. Because, you know, generations ago, people that were very heavy were considered models because they had food. They were rich, and that's what people wanted to have, was food to eat. Nowadays, I don't know. I mean, now it's more like you need to look like you are made of bone with some skin, I guess. And that's not healthy either. Like, the point is caring for your bodies. The third thing when it comes to caring for this vehicle is what we don't do with them. And this is, again, maybe something a little bit different, but rest is important. And I don't care if you're doing something that's your job and you need to make the money, or if we're talking about Jesus and I need to reach people for Jesus. I just read a quote the other day that says, well, Satan doesn't give up. Satan never stops. And the guy wrote, well, I'm glad Satan isn't my role model. Like, so we need to remember that rest is important as well. And that's not just physical, but also emotional rest. Sometimes you need a break. Sometimes you need to get away. So do that. And I don't mean away from your spouse, like, oh, we need a break. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's okay. And here in Mark chapter 6, we see an interesting thing. Jesus, the Son of God, fully man, fully God, said this in verse 30. The apostles returned. Are we there? Here we go. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Like, they went out. They were out doing this thing. And Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. And especially if you grew up in church and this idea of like, no, keep going for Jesus. Jesus wants you to wear out your horse. Jesus says, no, guys, hey, this is cool. Let's get away by ourselves, away from the crowds, and rest a while. And throughout the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus took time alone. Jesus got away. Jesus took a break. And then he said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. And if any of you were part of the youth staff at my previous church, you're all like, are you paying attention, Sean? Are you listening? Because I was classic. If I was running an event for our youth ministry, I did not eat. Don't have time for that. And kind of wore me out a little bit. And so it says they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. Like, Jesus, the Son of God, and told his followers, look, guys, we need to take a break. We need to get some rest. We need to come back to this after getting some rest. Rest is okay. Rest is a good thing. We need rest because that's how God created us, because we need sleep. Sleep is amazing. That's why I try to do it as much as possible. But when you think about it, like, seriously, you get into this bed thing or a chair or whatever your dealio is, and like, your body kind of goes unconscious, and then you wake up refreshed-ish, you know, depending on the night and all that. But that's just weird, like, I don't know. So rest, that's another thing. And again, I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a physician. But I'm just saying that when it comes to caring for this body, rest is something that we often neglect. And rest is important. Emotional rest, mental, physical rest. So what we put into them, what we get out of them, what we don't do with them. Next slide. And then finally, this is kind of a... my phrasing isn't working very well, but how we perceive with them. How we perceive, because our bodies engage in life through our senses, through our mental capacities, through our emotions. And what I'm talking about here is our emotional health, our mental health, because that's often something that's like, well, you know, just keep going. No, we sometimes need mental help. We need emotional help. If we're going through a hard time, don't try to bear it on your own. Get help. In Psalm 37, the author writes, "The godly offer good counsel. They teach them right from wrong." Now, the word counsel here is not referring to a therapist, a licensed, you know, anything like that, but just the idea of don't go at it alone. Like, if you're struggling, if there's mental issues, and I'm not, we're like, mental issues, what are you saying about me? No, I'm just, it's part of who we are. Our body and our brains are full of chemicals, and that is a physical part of us too. And those chemicals sometimes aren't right, and so sometimes we need to get them right. Sometimes that's through a doctor and medicine. Sometimes that's through just talking it out. But the point is, that's a part of us too. Our mental and our emotional state is an important thing that we need to be willing to deal with. We need to be willing to address. We need to be willing to care for, because it's part of our body. And so, you know, if you in fact happen to be a supermodel, chances are most supermodels have some serious mental and emotional issues because of what they have to do to become that. But the whole body, let's use everything. God has died for all of us. He has rescued us, all of our body, including our mental and our emotional health. So I'm just saying, it's okay. It's okay. Because this is something in church like, no, what are you, crazy? Well, Jesus doesn't do that. I mean, no, this is part of who we are. I remember Brian Van Sack, and I can share this openly because he shared this with me and openly as well with other people. But he kind of taught me this idea. He's one of our elders. They moved away from the area last year. But, you know, if you break an arm, you're going to go to the ER. You're going to go to the doctor to get it made right. Like, you're not walking around like this. Oh, yeah, that broke. Oh, well, I got another one still. And, oh, that one's broke. Like, no, you would go and get it fixed. And if you didn't, especially if it was a child, you would be considered like a neglectful parent. No, get them in. Get some help. And our bodies have chemical and physical, or non-physical, but chemical issues also in them. And so if you're struggling with a chemical problem, go to a doctor and get help. Like, it's okay. I just want you to know that it's okay. And this is just one passage in the Bible that talk about the importance of talking, of chewing over things with other people. It's good to let our emotional side also be managed and dealt with. And again, I am not a professional. So, there's some things there. Our bodies, what we put into them, what we get out of them, what we don't do with them, and how we perceive with them. These are all issues that that affect us. And our physical bodies and our emotional state, of course, affects us physically, and our physical state affects our emotions. Like, it's all tied together. So the point being, the next step for me is to care for my personal health. And again, God is interested in our bodies. God is not interested in us being perfect in terms of whatever perfect is. It's not. But God is interested in us caring, because He's given us a message, a life or death message that we need to share. And we need to make sure we're caring for our bodies. And I'm not here to tell you what that looks like. I'm just throwing out some suggestions and some thoughts. I'm not here to beat you up and get you angry or upset. I'm just saying, this is what the Bible talks about. So we're going to talk about it. And this is something that God wants to do, because He cares about all of us, not just our spiritual. So let me just share one or two thoughts here at the end. We're past time, but I think this is important. And that comes down to getting help. Because, again, it's easy to be like, no, you can't do this. I just want you to know you're not alone. No matter where you are in this whole spectrum, physical, mental, emotional, rest, what you put in, what exercising, eating, I mean, all of that, you're not alone in this. Everyone struggles with these issues on some level. And every one of them is hard work. And there are things that we have to do. And, of course, our bodies are changing. Like, my boys played in a basketball game yesterday, and they were going back and forth down the court. And it was just going and going and going the entire time. Like, it was one of those games where there was no, like, well, we'll wait for them. Like, just, it was that way. And I'm the coach. I'm one of the coaches. Carla and I are coaching this team. And I'm going back and forth. I was beat. I was so worn out from doing this. My boys, who don't exercise, you know, officially anywhere near as much as I do, they were fine. Why? Because that's part of age. But as we get older, I mean, there's all these factors going into it. I just want you to know you're not alone. And there's two things I just want to mention. The first thing is that it's okay to go to a doctor. It's okay to go to a doctor. There's nothing wrong with you if you go to a doctor to get help. And I'm talking about anything, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, sexual, whatever. Going to a doctor is okay. It's not a wrong thing. And I guess I'm kind of speaking to men too, like, oh, I don't need a doctor. Yes, you do, because your body has been given to you by God, and you need to fix it. And this is an interesting passage in James, and I want to share this because it's important, because I think in church world sometimes people are like, well, just have enough faith and God will make you better. James doesn't say that. James says, are any of you sick? He says, you should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil. The word oil here, this concept meant medicine. It was not 100%. There is no question. It wasn't some sort of like, you know, symbolic thing. It was in their time, oil was the medicine of the day. And he says, if you're sick, here's what you need to do. Get medicine, go to a doctor, and pray. And then he goes on and says, then perhaps God will make you well. But nowhere does this passage say, don't get help. He says, no, do the right thing. If you want to be safe on the road, wear a seatbelt and then trust God. Like, there isn't this idea of just, do whatever. He says, make sure if you're sick, have the elders come over. And at the time, they were the ones that carried the medicine. They were the ones that had the oils, the herbs, the medicines that were used. Get help and pray. And both of those are important. And ultimately, God is the bigger picture here. But that's what he says. The second thing is that it's okay to meet with a counselor. It's okay to meet with a counselor. Oh, yeah, you're weak. You're meeting with someone. No, this is our body. This is what God wants us to care for, our emotional, mental, physical, all of that, our health. And it's okay. And if you need to meet with someone, I mean, I can recommend a few people. It's okay. That's all I'm saying. Is that with these things, don't just be like, oh, I can't. No, I'm giving you permission as lead pastor, at least of this group, to go to a doctor, to go to a counselor, to get help, because God is concerned about our bodies. In Proverbs 15:22, what does he say? He says, the plans fail for lack of counsel. And again, he's not talking about a licensed therapist, but the idea is that if you try to go it on your own, you're going to be in trouble. But with many advisors, they succeed. If you get help, you'll be able to make it through, because God cares about our bodies. So it's okay to see a doctor. It's okay to meet with a counselor, because the point is that God, the next step for me is to care for my personal health. So a lot of stuff we covered there, all over the place. If you're angry with me, please tell me why later, and I can apologize. I just want to say we need to deal with this. We can't ignore it. And we have to move forward, because our bodies are the vehicle that God has given us to share the most important message of all eternity. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for dying for us, and dying for us physically and for our physical bodies, and that we can look forward to resurrection outside of hell, apart from hell, and resurrection with you in with our bodies. And I just pray for all the things that we talked about this morning, and we're running so late, and all the different things that we chewed on. I pray that we wouldn't walk out of here, I don't know, just ignoring it, but that we would look deep and say, what are the things that I need to do to care for my personal health? God, and if there's people here that are feeling alone, that are feeling like they can't deal with it, that are feeling afraid, I just pray that this morning would give them the courage that they need to get the help that they need. And that there's nothing wrong with that, because you care about us physically as much as you care about us spiritually. Help us to grow in you in all of these areas. In Jesus' name, amen.